Okay. Cindy, as the leading international authority on business and social etiquette and protocol, etiquette is obviously important to you. Tell us why etiquette is so important in our culture.
Well, I think it's really important now as we're becoming so global and so diverse in our communities that etiquette definitely is one thing that helps us know what to do and what is expected of us in various situations. So etiquette really is the means by which we are able to build and sustain relationships. You know, for instance, we all know that in the American custom, you know, to shake hands with someone when we first meet them is the right thing to do.
Right.
But how? Yeah. So how would it be if you extended your hand to me and I didn't return it? How
You'd
would it
be
make
offended almost?
Yeah, make you feel a little bit awkward, and in that moment, and then you'd be wondering, you know, well, why didn't she extend her hand and return it? So these things, you know, do cause awkward situations that can then, you know, manifest itself into all kinds of things. So sometimes as simple as this can get you into, you know, deeper situations that can build or kind of cause bad relationships with people. So by knowing and displaying appropriate behavior, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
that certainly makes sense. It certainly applies on the golf course as well.
Yes, yes.
Have you seen a general decline in people knowing proper etiquette?
Oh, yeah. I guess, you know, since the 60s and 70s, where there was a major decline in etiquette worldwide, you know, through the hippy-dippy movement,
yeah.
You know, young people gave up and, you know, kind of rebelled against all their parents and grandparents' rigid rules of do's and don'ts, you know, in lieu of a style that allowed them to be, you know, themselves, free to be kind of thing.
Well, you know? I know. And in playing golf, I've seen a decline in etiquette. One of the things we're supposed to do is repair ball marks on the putting green or replace our divots. And even at private country clubs, there are ball marks, divots, unrepaired, and you would think as owners of a club or members of a club, they would take more care, but even then they don't. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think, you know, the passing of the generations, too, when things aren't reinforced and then promoted in doing it, then there's that decline again.
Yes. Now, what do you believe poor etiquette says about a person?
I think in today's society, whenever a person, especially an adult, displays poor etiquette, I think it shows their lack of level of their education, you know. Sure, it may be in front of another person who, you know, kind of equally clueless. So then I suppose it doesn't matter. But
right.
Where it does count is when you are in the company of someone who does know better, you know, and when you are, and these are often times that you least expect it, that's when it really counts, you know, to know what
sure.
to do and how.
Well, in golf, I would say poor etiquette can make or break whether someone ever wants to play with you again.
Oh, absolutely. And in general, that's true.
Yes, and in my case of promoting business golf, if you show poor etiquette, that person might take pause as to whether they want to do business with the other person, just because etiquette on the golf course, to me, is still one of the domains where civility and proper behavior is important. So it's going to be fun as we explore how it applies in the business world, in your sense, and then in the golf etiquette world. So when playing with someone on the golf course, it could take up to 5 hours, which can be valuable time with a client or prospect. Let's say you want to invite a guest of the opposite gender to play. How do you suggest people word the invitations to avoid any misunderstanding that it's for business only and not for any personal or romantic reasons?
Oh, I get that question a lot through our newsletter inquiries. You know, when it comes to business etiquette, first of all, there is no gender involved. So how you would treat and behave with your same gender, women to women or men to men, should be no different. So when it comes to an invitation to golf or anything else, you simply use the words such as, John, I would like you to be my guest for a round of golf on, you know, whatever day and at what time. And by saying this phrase, you know, it clearly states who's in charge and who will be paying. And then while you're playing the golf, I mean, you keep all of the conversations light and cordial without any hint of impropriety. You know, and it's not necessary to kind of overqualify your invitation with a bunch of disclaimers, you know, that, geez, you know, it's just a round of golf. Don't think anything of it, you know, kind of thing. So
okay.
Just keep it professional.
So is it too much to say, John, let's get together on the golf course. Let's talk a little more about your business situation and get to know each other on the course a little better. Is that too much, or does that kind of clarify it is for the business setting?
No, because you say let's get together, then the guest isn't as sure about who really is paying the golf fees and everything else. So any of those things make it much more of a gray area. That historically, whoever does the inviting is the person that's expected to be paying. And this way, by using I invite you to be my guest, there's no question.
Okay, but let's say on a golf course where the green fees are, say, hundreds of dollars, Pebble Beach, $475. And you want to – it's incredible view and very expensive golf.
Yeah.
And you want to invite the person so that you can get to know each other in terms of business, but you're not ready to pay the $475. So can you say something to the effect of, I like to play golf with you at XYZ golf course, the green fees are X dollar amount. Does that then connote to the other person that they're going Dutch in that instance?
Sure. I have to say that I would only extend that kind of an invitation to someone you know a little bit better. If it really is for business purposes, I don't feel that it's appropriate to interject the Dutch kind of feeling. So Dutch is usually done among friends when you want to share. So that
okay.
would be the differentiation. If it's business, I would do the hosting and bite the bullet or whatever if that's where you're going. But if it's friends, sure, I think it would be fine to say, you know, love to have a round of golf or share, you know, round of golf, you know, with you. Or then you can use the word join me for a round of golf. Those, and then explain the golf fees.
Okay. So you're suggesting if it's a business golf outing, be prepared to pay for your guests and then perhaps choose a different golf course where the green fees aren't so prohibitive and
costly.
Exactly. Okay.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. How do you suggest people confirm a business meeting or luncheon?
Well, often, as you know, meetings are set weeks or even months ahead of time. So when the invitation was originally extended, you will immediately follow it up with an email, you know, that gives the date, time, and so forth, and say, look forward to seeing you in a few weeks. But within 24 to 48 hours, I would then reconfirm it by both email and telephone. You call the person first. Hopefully you get them live and you can confirm. But if you had to leave a voicemail, that's when I would also do it by email, just because not everybody these days still has PDAs, and they may be out of the office and don't hit their voicemail or don't hit their email. So if you really want to make sure that they're going to show up, you know, take the time to do both.
So do both within 24 to 48. Okay,
yes.
Hours. I typically have suggested folks confirm the outing with an email, and if they have time, even by snail mail, where they include a scorecard of the golf course that they're playing if the other person's never played that course.
Oh, I think that's a lovely idea.
It's kind
of absolutely.
It's kind of a here's where you're going, and what's so nice about the scorecard is it typically has the golf course number, so if the person's
mm-hmm.
lost or there's a delay, they can call the golf course. But I also even give my cell phone so they can call me direct.
Yes.
But if the person doesn't want to do the handwritten, then they can at least do an email with a link to the golf course.
Absolutely. All
so
of
again,
those
they have
things,
all that
I think.
Info.
Yes.
And I always suggest they clarify where at the golf course. Is it going to be in the clubhouse for coffee first, or is it going to be at the practice green? Just unlike a restaurant where you meet in the lobby of the restaurant or in the waiting area, I always suggest they clarify where at the golf course.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing worse than getting someplace and not knowing exactly where you're supposed to meet.
Yeah, I mean, they could be at the driving range, the putting green. There are too many different places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Talk with us about in-person meetings with a client or a prospect and whether a person should answer their telephone or cell phone.
During the meeting?
During the meeting.
Oh, immediate question comes to mind. How did we ever survive without telephones or cell phones in the past?
True.
You know? So, no, my opinion is you should never, and I really mean never, answer your telephone or cell phone while in the meeting, a meeting with somebody else. I mean, the focus really should be on the person in front of you. There's always appropriate breaks. You know, you have long meetings within an hour, 90 minutes, and you can check your phone and email messages. So you're not really distracting or disrupting the meeting at hand.
Okay.
So, yeah, or the golf, I guess, you know.
Well,
for
that's
sure.
That's the tricky thing, because the golf outing, if it takes four hours,
yeah.
People will read their emails on their PDAs, or they'll even take phone calls while on the golf course, which I abhor, and some golf country clubs actually forbid use of cell phones on the golf course.
Yes, yes.
So I give them,
more places are.
Yes. So I give them a little caveat, which is if your guest is checking their cell phones or for emails at the snack bar at the turn between the ninth and tenth hole, then it's okay to use and check your own. Does that sound okay to you? Because clearly
right. The
guests won't be offended.
Yes. It's the whole thing that long as everything remains silent, I do understand that when you're out in the golf course, you don't want it, you know, just as the person's taking the swing, that a cell phone goes off.
Right.
You know, so if you're going to do it, put it on mute. And if you must, you know, look at it, yeah, look at it quietly and discreetly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as you can imagine, the use of speakerphone on the cell phone, to me, where you get to hear the entire conversation, is not acceptable. Yeah.
Totally.
Okay. Yeah. And it happens, unfortunately, even at private clubs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's talk about cigar smoking. Some golfers love to light up a cigar when they're playing. Do you suggest they ask their cart partner before they light up if they can do so?
Oh, sure. I think, you know, that's only courtesy. You cannot expect that everyone will allow or appreciate your smoking just because you're outdoors. So you need to ask, and if the person says, no, I do mind if you smoke a cigar, then you got to abide by that, you know, response and not light up. However,
okay.
I will say, you could sweeten the question a little bit to try and encourage that positive answer, you know, by saying something like, Jane, you know, would you mind if I smoked a cigar while we play? I promise, you know, to do it as far away from you as possible and to make every effort to make sure it's downwind from you. Would that be okay?
Okay.
You know? So at least it shows that you'll be sensitive. Because most people that can't stand smoke just don't know how people are. You know, that once you say, sure, you do it, and then somehow it's just, you know, blowing in your face.
Right. So if you're riding in the cart, then it's wise to hold the cigar outside of the cart as you're driving along instead of having it within the cart compartment.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, what is it just because of the smell that cigar smoking tends to bring up problems more than cigarette smoking, or are we in California just spoiled because we have no smoking everywhere?
I think it's just unto themselves. I actually can tolerate cigar smoking better than I can cigarette smoking.
Okay.
So, but I know a lot of people are the opposite. So,
right.
No. Yeah, it just depends on the person.
Okay. Now, baseball caps and visors are commonplace on the golf course. Please explain whether and when caps and visors can be worn indoors.
Immediate answer is never.
By both, men and women, correct?
Absolutely. This is one of the questions in my youth seminars I'm always asking. You know, I ask them, well, first of all, can anyone tell me why, what the purpose of caps and visors are? And invariably the kids will always raise their hand and say, oh, to shade the sun. So I say, well, then why do you wear them indoors? And there's
right.
dead silence.
Right.
You know, they'll come up with all kinds of wonderful other, you know, reasons. But that really is at the core of it, that, you know, caps and visors are meant for outdoor wearing and not for indoors. So you should take them out, in, I guess, in your clubhouse, restaurants, movie theaters, I mean, every place else.
Well, do you find you're bucking the trend with that advice? Since whenever we watch golfers on television, when they're in the media room, their caps are on because of the endorsement. They're trying to promote the company they're endorsing.
That's true.
So I suspect our culture and youth today just see them speaking indoors, and they think nothing of wearing it indoors then.
I know. You're correct. I mean, that's the biggest problem with society is that there are exceptions to the rule, so to speak, that then flip-flop themselves into becoming more the norm.
Right.
You know, if you just really want to be within the best courtesy, and that's when people notice, as my, wasn't he nice that he took off his cap, you know, when he walked in the door, or she walked in the door, you know? So it's
yes.
all about winning those brownie points, I think.
Well, at one club I know of in San Francisco, there's a sign that says if you're wearing your cap indoors, you have to buy drinks for everyone indoors inside
Ooh.
The bar. And
That's
I wish
cool.
That was implemented at more clubs.
Yeah.
Now, what about a woman who wears a stylish hat outdoors while she's playing, and it's not a cap or a visor, clearly. Can she then wear that hat inside the clubhouse as part of her outfit?
It's a stylish hat, but it's still basically a sports hat, I would assume. It's not what is more termed within the world of women's hats as a dress hat.
I know someone who would, I would say, even wears a dress hat.
Okay. You know, actually, the trend nowadays is that women take off most hats. There was a time in the 30s and 40s that women's hats were very low and close to the head. And,
okay.
And from that perspective, they were dress hats that you could wear into a restaurant for lunch and wear it throughout, you know, lunch. But nowadays, most hats of any kind have larger rims around them.
Right.
And for that reason, no, you're, again, not supposed to be wearing them indoors.
So
the fear
of bad hat hair is not an excuse, is what
you're saying. Oh, totally not. Totally not.
Because I can certainly say my hair looks very different after a round of golf
when
I'm
yes.
wearing a cap.
Sure. Well, that's what the ladies' room is for. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fashion.
Now, what about caps worn backwards? So the bill is facing behind the person. What is the etiquette about wearing caps worn backwards?
Well, to me, wearing caps backwards is probably the worst display of laziness, is what it is. It's the laziness of not taking it off, but you don't want it facing forward because you're indoors and don't really need to be shading the sun. So, you know, I heard a funny story once about baseball caps, which says that, you know, a person wearing a cap indoors, especially an adult, it
yeah.
reduces your IQ, the perception of your IQ, by 50%. And
wow.
if you wear that cap backwards, it then reduces the appearance of your IQ by another 50%.
So you have
so what
zero
does that
IQ.
Leave you? You got it.
Well, but this is when the person is outdoors and wearing their cap backwards.
No, it could be indoors or outdoors. I think
okay.
it's even worse indoors. Yeah.
I would argue it's worse outdoors because what is the point then of wearing a cap if it's not even shading your eyes?
That's true. That's back to the laziness thing. Absolutely.
Yeah. I would go with your zero IQ. Okay. All right. I'm glad that's clarified because I personally can't stand to see people wearing their cap backwards, especially at a country club.
Yes.
Let's say a person invites you to a round of golf. And you played together, would you feel obligated to reciprocate, invite that person to a round of golf as well?
Whenever invitations are extended, I think it's only you know, nice that you want to reciprocate, but you don't have to do the same thing. You know, the more important thing is the fact you do invite them to something that you know they may equally enjoy and around equal value. So if the person enjoys going to the theater or someplace else, like maybe a trendy restaurant, sure, I think reciprocating in that way would be fine. You don't have to do it, you know, with another game of golf unless you want to.
Okay, so what happens if after 4 hours of playing golf together, you decide you just don't want to spend any more time with that person for whatever reason? And
right.
It's happened to me where I just thought that was really a painful experience, either because of their golf etiquette or their boasting or their lack of teamwork on the course.
Sure.
I will send a thank you note, a handwritten one still, and then not extend another invitation or feel a need to reciprocate. I would imagine that's fine.
Well, there's a lot of ways you can handle that. As you said, that way. Another way would be, along with your thank you note, to send him some little kind of gift of appreciation. So that way you've kind of covered it. Or in the future, maybe to invite him to something that's more of a group thing. So if you invited him to, you know, another kind of event that would include other people, a lot of people invite them to, as a guest, to a nonprofit fundraiser. You just get another ticket and say that,
good idea.
Thought you would enjoy this.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm.
I like that. Now, some people like to bet when they play golf, and the wager can be drinks or money, cash. What do you suggest the winner do if he wins cash? Should he be buying the round of drinks?
Well, sure. I think buying a round of drinks is certainly a lovely idea, but maybe it would also depend on how much money he won. You know, if he only won $20 and a round of drinks would have cost $50, you know, that's one thing as well. So, you know, I think he can keep the money if it's a small amount, but certainly buying a round of drinks is definitely in line at any time. You know, and you can even write a thank you note if the pot was pretty big or whatever. That, you know, writing a thank you note to everybody who contributed sure would be a great thing.
Okay. It wouldn't be rubbing it in.
No, it's a sign of appreciation.
Okay.
It's not what you do, it's how you do it. So, sure, you could rub it in by the way you word the note.
Right. Well, that's something that some people are puzzled by. When a person has a hole-in-one, which a friend of mine just did the other day, we were playing together, he's then obligated to buy a round of drinks for everybody at the club. And that can be, if one doesn't have insurance, a fairly expensive tab. And someone asked me, well, why does the winner of a hole in, why does the person who shoots the hole in one have to do this?
Right.
Rather than everybody buy them a drink. And I said to the person, we're both Chinese, and I thought of it in a Chinese way, which was to get a hole in one, they say the odds of doing so is 1 in 15,000 shots that you're going to get a hole in one. And whenever I've had my hole in one, I always feel like I was blessed for that moment, for that little ball to be hit in a particular place and roll in, and that it was fortuitous, and that it's my sharing the good wealth and the good luck with other people.
Yes. I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those shots that you never expect to hit, or so many people have played for 30 years and never had.
Right.
And it's just great to be able to share with other people.
Okay. Sure.
Great. Now, if you're a guest of a round of golf, should you give a gift to your host at that particular day?
It's up to you. I mean, the answer is yes and no. I mean, but the idea of gift giving to a host is always a good gesture. So that would just depend on, it's not required, but the idea of reciprocating in some way, buying you know, the round of drinks or something else. Maybe you walked into the pro shop and found something that might be appropriate. So sure. Yeah.
Okay. In my situation, I've had a gentleman invite me to some non profit charity events, and one was at the Olympic Club, and another was in another very nice country club and along the peninsula.
Sure.
And I think on the second round, I brought two bottles of wine for him
yeah.
and his wife, and then
yeah.
invited him to my course to play as well as a gracious thank you.
Sure.
And I just feel I never would have had a chance to play those private courses without the invitation, so it's definitely something to reciprocate.
Absolutely. I mean, I think any time you show your appreciation almost helps to want to be invited back, or the person will be more inclined to want to invite you to other things as well. And that's how you perpetuate building good relationships with people.
Right, most definitely. Now, after playing a round of golf with someone, I always suggest a handwritten thank you note. Even
mm-hmm.
if you were the host, I
oh.
like to still write thank you notes for being
yeah.
playing a round of golf with me.
Yeah.
What do you suggest they include the notes besides a thank you? Any
okay.
any other
sure.
verbiage?
Okay. Yeah, you're right on in terms of not only the guest writing a thank you note out of appreciation, but the host is appreciative of the guest taking the time and joining him. And usually the host who invites somebody, they're wanting to build the relationship. So this, again, you know, helps to continue that kind of thing about building the relationship. But what else should you include in a thank you note? I guess, you know, something about how much you enjoyed the day. Of course, stating, you know, something positive about it. You know?
Right. So, a great shot that person made. Or
exactly.
A
something funny
score.
That they would have enjoyed together to bring a memory back. And the only thing I just thought of, too, to say is that sometimes people have bought store-bought thank you notes and used them instead of the blank type, you know, note cards. The only thing I'm going to say is you got to still write something in them. You can't just use the Hallmark card
oh.
and sign your name to it.
Oh, most definitely.
The thank you note. So,
okay, I never thought about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, haven't you even gotten holiday cards where they're all pre-printed and all you see is their name on there and you're wondering,
yeah.
you know?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Personalized.
So if a person doesn't write a thank you note, what do you think they should do at least? Send an email, make a phone call?
Yeah.
What's the minimum they have to do?
The minimum is one of either any of the above. It's the email, it's a telephone, voicemail, or even a fax, if you know that's what is required. To not send anything, that's where you're really at a loss, you know, of not doing it at all. So
yeah, and showing disinterest in that other person, most
mm-hmm.
certainly.
And your lack of appreciation. Yeah, and really, that brings to mind, too, so many people think, well, I thanked him, you know, just before we left each
right.
other. No, I
right.
really, at the parking lot, I really made a big deal of saying thank you so much. I even gave him a hug, you know.
Right.
You know, wasn't that enough? And I'm saying no. You know, the difference is really taking the time to write that note.
Okay. I certainly agree.
Yeah.
We ran out of questions, Cindy. Do you have any other thoughts?
Oh, jeez.
I think we went a half an hour.
Yeah. We're supposed to be going for an hour, huh? Oh, wow. Maybe we should have talked slower.
I can't do that.
I
don't think it's a problem. I think we covered quite a bit of information they listeners would enjoy and be interested in hearing.
Yeah. Why don't we... cut this in. Continue it by saying, gosh, Cindy, you know, I've gone through all the questions that I've thought to ask you, and you answered them so well, and I just realized we're really done, you know, a lot ahead of time or something, you know, to kind of wrap it up and
oh, yeah.
Say that we're early.
Is there anything else that you can think of that I omitted?
Okay.
Cindy?
Okay, yes. I mean, is that the real question?
I'm asking you. Is there
okay, yeah.
Offline,
ask the question, and you're going to cut and paste this. Ask the question. Is there anything.
Okay. Well, Cindy, it seems we've gone through all the questions I had for you. Is there anything else that you can think of with regard to etiquette and golf?
Well, I guess the one thing I might share with you is some host duties and guest responsibilities when attending an event, and certainly a golf event, is that if you're the host, you really should get to the golf course ahead of, you know, your guests, and that way you're there to help greet them properly. And
right.
if there were all the fees to be paid and all of that, that you take care of it all before your guests arrive, so there's not as much of a commotion of all of that by the time they arrive. And, you know, throughout the day, just, you know, taking note of any of their needs. If the bottle of water runs out, that you might, you know, say, gosh, you know, maybe we need to get another bottle of water and so forth. And likewise for the guest, you know, to always wait to take the lead from the host
okay.
in terms of doing anything, you know, that they're not dictating, you know, what they should be doing and how throughout the day, that to allow the host to be the lead. You know, you can certainly suggest in a soft manner, gee, what do you think about this or whatever, and just leave the decision totally to the host.
Great suggestion. I did come up with another question. My thoughts was with regard to tipping.
Mm-hmm.
There are folks called bag boys, bag girls who greet you at your car and take your clubs on the cart up to the clubhouse.
Yes.
Do you suggest tipping that person a dollar or two?
Tipping, as you know, is an old-time acronym that says to ensure prompt or proper service. And it usually is given at the onset of any service for that purpose. I know in modern times we kind of flip it to the back end. So, but on a golf situation, I'd say that it certainly is fine for you to tip a dollar. I don't feel at the onset that you need to overly tip, but like getting your car and all that is usually tipped at the end.
Right. You mean for valet? Okay.
Valet, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't usually tip the person who takes your car and parks it. You only tip the person at the end when you get the car back.
Okay, good
yeah.
point, good point. And one final question. The rule with regard to changing shoes at a country club in general has been you don't change the shoes in the parking lot of the clubhouse, of the country club.
Right.
You instead take it into the locker room and change there. Any idea why that's the case? What's
you know,
so
I'm
inappropriate of changing
sure.
your shoes in the parking lot?
Well, I'm just thinking that not being as familiar with golf, but don't golf shoes sometimes have little spikes or things sticking out of them?
Yes.
At the bottom?
There used to be
right.
metal. They used to be metal spikes, but they're now soft rubber. They're called
uh-huh.
soft spikes because it's
right.
better for the greens and the course.
Okay.
So they're not as destructive as they used to be with the metal spike.
Okay. Well, it probably started with that, but I'm just thinking, reality is, why would a person be wanting to wear their shoes out on the concrete in the parking lot, that it really does harm the shoes even out there, even if they're rubber? You know, it'll be hitting hard surface and kind of ruin your shoes. So my thinking is, you know, why would a person even want to do that? That the clubhouse is much more appropriate.
Okay. Yes, I could
mm-hmm.
see that. And have you encountered? Well, you have.
Go ahead.
Cut. I'm going to cut this. I was going
okay.
to talk about clothing etiquette.
Ah.
How country clubs still have rules about clothing, and where else? I would imagine you've seen it at
yeah.
like the city club. You
sure.
still have can't
sure.
wear jeans, can't
sure.
wear t-shirts.
Yep. Okay, ask the question.
Okay, country clubs have rules and regulations about clothing, what the golfer can be wearing on the golf course. I would imagine there are social settings that you have the similar requirements. Can you give us an idea as to why that's the case? Why do they have those in place?
I think dress codes are to help ensure a good experience for everyone that's at the event or throughout the country club, that it is unsightly to have someone inappropriately dressed. Say, if you're, for you, on the golf course and someone's wearing really dirty, tattered, beat up, bent up jeans or cut offs or in some way. I know that the game of croquet is definitely something. You know, it's all dress whites that you have to wear throughout that game at all times. And as you know, tennis is the same way. Going to various events, you know, why do we have black tie or, you know, events? So it is just to have everyone, I guess, being cordial in kind of the same environment. Because when you do dress in another style, it kind of, you know, skews the perception of the feeling and ambiance of everything. So
that makes sense. For golf, I can understand for women, for example, they don't want plunging necklines because the woman is bending over to pick up the golf ball or
exactly.
putting it on the tee. And they also don't want too short of shorts. The typical rule is no shorts more than 5 inches above the knee.
Oh.
So you can't go above that.
Okay.
Because, again, they don't want it to be too revealing.
Yeah.
In terms of jeans, I don't quite know the negative about jeans, but I know for myself, I've never played around a golf in my jeans. And I think it's because when I play golf, I want to feel confident and have that sense of looking good and having that confidence so that it translates into my golf swing.
Absolutely. Jeans often are tighter, and they really don't bend well.
No, they don't. And you need that flexibility while you're playing.
Yep.
So all the reasons that are understandable as to why a dress code at a golf course. Well, thank you so much, Cindy. This has been a pleasure, and I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot about etiquette in general as well as etiquette on the golf course.
My pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
Okay, Cindy.
All right. Good.
Thank you. Wait. 35. Yes?
Yeah. What about my plug? I forgot.
Do
you write that in?
I usually say it in the beginning.
Oh, okay. Then fine.
I say it in the beginning during the bio.
Okay, fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Okay, that's what I've typically done. They're going to cut and splice and all that stuff.
Right.
We'll make it sound good.
Oh, no. I think we did pretty good. So
yeah, I think so, too.
Couple of notes and all of that. So.
Yeah, and I think actually the questions we came up afterwards were just as good. That should have been thought of.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of helping promote you, I'm happy to put this interview into my etiquette tip of the month and say, you know, at the end, like,
okay,
if you would like to learn more, blah, blah, blah.
Thank you.
So,
or we could put like
similar to what I think about, similar in my November tip was my interview that I did for the Luxury Council.
Yeah.
And then I put in a plug for the Luxury Council at the end.
Right.
So it'll be the same thing.
What we could do is put in like 10 minutes of it or something, and then they can buy the rest.
Ah, fine.
Something like that.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good.
So I'll see you on Thursday. What time are you flying in?
I don't get in that morning until, actually, it's 7:50, my plane.